Muy buenas tardes a todos los que están conectados a través del satélite Amazonas y el satélite
Pesatoshi. Good afternoon to everyone who is connected through the Amazonas satellite and the Eutelsat satellite and other means of communication today, Friday, October 31st of this year, 2025. Warm greetings to missionary Miguel Bermudez Marin. May God bless him greatly and all the brothers and sisters in different countries. On this occasion, let's read in the Gospel according to Luke in chapter 17, verse 22 and on, where it tells us, this scripture is the one that Dr. William Soto read in the message that we will be watching and listening to, identifying the end of time. And let's read this portion. We will begin in verse 22. It says in chapter 17, and he said unto his disciples, the days will come when ye shall desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and ye shall not see it. And they shall say unto you, see here, or see there. Go not after them, nor follow them. For as the lightning, and there on the side he rides east to west, that lineth out of the one part under heaven, shineth unto the other part under heaven. And he rides west, a dash, east. So shall also the Son of Man be in his day. And in his day, on top he rides, seventh millennium. And on the left, he draws a cornerstone upwards. And he rides, the eighth day. But first, he must suffer many things and be rejected by this generation. And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. There on verse 26 and 27, he connects them, and on the side he puts Noah. Likewise, also, as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, and they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. He also connects that, and he writes Lot. And on verse 30, he draws a star of David on the right, identifying the end of time. You may please be seated, if you're so kind. This message was preached on July 8th of 2016 in Guatemala City, Guatemala. It tells us in the message, which he titled, The Word That Cannot Fail, preached on January 12th of 1992 in Cayey, Puerto Rico, it says, now, we can see the Word when we understand it, because seeing is understanding. We can also see the Word of God when it becomes flesh, and we can see the Word in what was promised. In order to identify the Word, there in the time of the first coming of the Lord, it tells us, in the Gospel according to Luke in chapter 1, verse 26, it says, and in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God into a city of Galilee named Nazareth. And he writes there, Gabriel, on the right, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, hail, thou art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what matter of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God, and behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he draws the star of David on the right. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Now, back then, the first one who knew, identified the end of time for that dispensation, the dispensation of the law, back then, it was Mary. In other words, we have to identify each end of a dispensation. Now, for the start, for the beginning of the dispensation of grace, notice, in that dispensational interlace, we see that mighty archangel there giving the news to Mary. And he is also telling her what would be carried out by that instrument, that veil of flesh, that son that would be born of her. And the first to identify the time was Mary. Mary represents the church of the Lord at this end time, the church bride, because women represent churches. Now, notice that back then, Mary was the first who knew, identified that mystery. And at this time, notice that the spiritual Mary is also the first who identifies the end of time. Remember that the greatest sign on earth, Reverend William Branham tells us that it is a prophet. Now, let us continue here in the Book of the Seals, where he tells us that for the seventh seal, in other words, for the second coming of the Lord, it would be the same way. Look, on page 472 of the Book of the Seals in Spanish, he tells us, notice now, for the end of time message, this seal, after all, he has revealed all the six seals, but he don't say nothing about the seventh. And the end of time seal, when it starts, will be absolutely a total secret according to the Bible. When did the seventh seal begin back then in the first coming? It began with a birth. The seventh seal began then in his first coming. Now, in his second coming, the seventh seal must be the same way. And here the forerunner is speaking to us. Back then it was a secret, although some knew that mystery and identified that mystery of the seventh seal. He says, he goes on to say, before knowing that, and remember Revelation 10 from 1 to 7, at the end of the seven angels' message, all the mysteries of God will be known. We are at the end time, the opening of the seventh seal, and he writes on top the second coming of Christ. The other day, last Sunday, there's a place where he writes 1974. Now, notice, something has to be taking place at that time. Because, notice, he said that he would not die of old age until he is here. Therefore, he had not been manifested yet. The one for whom he was preparing the way had not been born yet. Meaning that son had not been born of the virgin yet. He, notice, he says that in the Book of Quotations, on page 119, paragraph 1058, he says, I may be building a platform for somebody else to step on. I may be taken before that time. But I do believe that we are so close that I would never die with old age that I will never die with old age. Yet at 54 years old, I'll never die with old age until he's here. Now, there he's telling us that that instrument was not yet in flesh, veiled in human flesh, because if he had been in human flesh at that time, this was in 63, well, then he wouldn't have had to say that. He would have said, instead, there he is, look, this is him. But since the fulfillment of the one that he had been preparing the way for had not been born, that is, that veil of flesh had not been born on this planet Earth yet, well, here he's saying that he is 54 years old, and he says, I will not die with old age, the normal age by which a person, it says in Psalms, it is 70 years, and the strongest reach 80. And if someone goes beyond that, it's because God has a purpose and a program for that person, and he gives him, notice, that extra time, which the person makes the most of it. And we also see that there it shows us that a person can live longer than what it says there, around 70 years. Notice, because nothing is impossible for God. We ask God to bless all those who have gone beyond 70 years and to give them strength, and may God continue to rejuvenate them and keep them alive until the transformation. That's always our desire. Notice, our brother William also spoke that way, positively. He always said, I want to be transformed, being alive. But notice, in the divine plans, he came for a purpose. He finished his ministry and left. That doesn't mean we are going to say, look, what he said wasn't fulfilled. We always speak positively. May everyone be transformed. May everyone be alive. Those who are alive, may they remain alive until the transformation. Always speaking positively. Not saying, but I might not make it. I have these aches and pains. It would be better for God to take me. Never speak that way. Always speak positively, despite the circumstances and difficulties that you have in life. Don't That can't go above the divine promises. Remain faithful, believing them with faith, because God will give you and will fulfill those promises in your life. Now he says, yet at 54 years old, I'll never die with old age until he's here. See? Meaning he knew that if he remained alive, he says, unless I'm shot, killed, or something other, some way killed. Just old age wouldn't kill me until he's come. Now, notice, it could be due to an accident, and that's what happened to him. It was a car accident, and God took him then. But old age wouldn't. He wouldn't leave this earth because of that. It wouldn't be due to old age until the fulfillment of the coming of the Lord would be on earth. Old age wouldn't reach him. Why? Because notice, he was 54 years old there, and in 74, he would have been 65 years old, a person who is still, let's say, in good health, meaning that the old age wouldn't come before the fulfillment of the second coming of the Lord. See? I may not do it. There he is already. He knew that he was leaving. I may not do it. But this message will introduce Jesus Christ to the world. For as John the Baptist was sent to forerun the first coming, so is this message to forerun the second coming. And John said, behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. So it paralleled it in every way, and I know it will. Now notice, above he writes, I will never die with old age until he's here, like John the Baptist. He also writes, building a platform for the Lord in his second coming. And upwards, on the right, he writes in two lines, the message introduces the second coming. What is it? It's the message, because the message and the messenger are the same thing. Now, notice, in the first coming of the Lord, John the Baptist, in the spirit and power of Elijah, in his third manifestation, the forerunner, God gave him the blessing of being present and pointing to the fulfillment of the first coming of the Lord. In other words, the one forerunner. He pointed to him and said, behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. He identified him. And several prophecies that had been spoken in the Old Testament, there was the one who was fulfilling them. How? By speaking them and pointing to that fulfillment. The prophecies being spoken by the prophets in the Old Testament is one thing. The forerunner there speaking those prophecies was another thing, and pointing to them and saying, this is what the prophets had said. That, look, that is the fulfillment. He is the fulfillment, and the fulfillment itself in the veil of flesh is another thing. See, they are three different things. And there we had the written prophecies. We had the one who pointed to them and said, this is the one. And they had the one whom those prophecies were being fulfilled, and in whom those prophecies were being fulfilled, that word was being quickened there, brought to life in Jesus of Nazareth, the carpenter of Nazareth. Now, in his second coming, there were prophecies in the scriptures, and those prophecies were spoken by the prophets, and those prophecies were taken by the forerunner, and he pointed to those prophecies at the end time, where he was forerunning during that gap there, and he was pointing to, indicating where it would be and how it would be, and he laid it all out. Notice, it's in the message, but notice, that was not all. God then gave him the blessing of transporting him to this time. And there, he pointed out where the pillar of fire was working. Who was there? Because he said that he was speaking to someone above him. In other words, to a prophet. Then, he was inside the little room where he saw everything that was happening. In other words, he met him. He learned his name. And he said, I will have to take this with me to the grave, or my grave. I'll have to take it to my grave, he says. No human being will know it. Because he couldn't speak that mystery, because that was to be opened by the Lord himself. He himself would open the seventh seal, just as Elijah in his fourth manifestation opened the first six seals, even though the sixth seal, notice, he didn't open it completely because he didn't say the name of that ministry of Moses and Elijah. Therefore, there were things there that he didn't open. But let's say that he opened the first six seals up, but said nothing about the seventh. He couldn't open it. It was a secret. Now, for the seventh seal, that work had to be continued by whom? Elijah. Continuing that work of opening the seals, that is, opening the seventh seal by that mystery being known to the church bride. Now, it continues saying, on page 472, the other Sunday, last Sunday, a week ago today, when I was preaching on be humble, remember, God deals in little things. I didn't realize what it really was talking about. And now I see it. It is in such a humble way, you would think that something like that would be revealed to the Vatican. And he writes in the Pope, but it comes, and he writes with Moses and Elijah, just like John the Baptist. It comes like the birth of our Lord. See that it's a birth? In a stable. Glory to God, so help me, the hour is at hand. Amen, we're here, oh my.
¿Lo pueden ver?
Now, do you see it?
Y escribe ahí, ¿lo pueden
and he
ver?
Writes there, can you see it?
Ahora,
now,
sigue diciendo aquí,
Dr. William Soto goes on to say here,
leyendo,
in the message that we're reading,
cuando estamos viendo el cumplimiento
when we are seeing the fulfillment of a divine promise, we are seeing the word in action, fulfilling what was said from God. Notice, the word can be in different forms. It can be in human flesh, it can be in written form, it can be in audible form, on tapes, or in videos, where it can be seen and heard, and it can also be in the fulfillment promise of the word for the time in which the person lives. In the message, see, that was what we were speaking about earlier, about the word written, brought by the prophets. Then you see the word being spoken, that prophecy being spoken, and showing what it is, and then the fulfillment of that prophecy made flesh. In the message, Christ identified the same. On page 9, he tells us. Now, my text subject for tonight is, Christ is identified the same in all generations. Now, the Bible said, He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we want to know how He could be, how we'd recognize Him. If He's here just as He was in any other time, then we'd like to know how He is recognized among us. And he writes there, how does he have to identify himself today? In a form of a question. And the answer is below that, fulfilling his promised word. He goes on to say here, where we are reading, for example, the Hebrew people in the first coming of the Lord could say, we have the spoken word for the coming of the Messiah. They could say, here we have the word of prophecy, the Messianic word, where it says that the virgin will conceive and bear a son. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And they could have that word in letter form, because it had been spoken by God through a prophet, and then it had been written. But the disciples of the Lord could say, well, we also have that same word, but we don't have it in a letter form, but in flesh. Now notice, in the message, the invisible union of the bride of Christ, it tells us on page 32, it says, Malachi 4, Luke 17:30, St. John 14:12, Joel 2:38, those promises is just exactly like John the Baptist identified himself in the scripture. Jesus identified himself. What did they say? Away with such a person. John is a wild man. The church wasn't able to receive it. That's the pattern. Neither will the church receive it today. But to the elect, God is calling to the elect, they know it, calling the virtuous bride, the word, the last day church, the elected lady of our Lord Jesus Christ. Word, if Jesus is the word, how many believe that? All right. Then, the bride is always part of the bridegroom, so the bride will not be a denomination. It have to be the word manifested. And he writes there on top, promised, made a reality, fulfilled. It'll have to be the word manifested to be the bride of Christ. And there he draws a cornerstone and the ages to the right. He promised to do it. He said how he did. Never loses his pattern. He always did it by the pattern. And he writes there, pattern. He done it every time by the pattern. He does it again, calling out his virtuous bride in the last days, the lovely Rebecca, waiting for her Isaac. What a beautiful time. And there he writes to the left, upwards, Jesus Christ with Moses and Elijah, the promised son. Christ. Isaac equals Christ. Now, it continues to say here where we stopped, and when the word of God is in flesh, it comes with all the divine blessings promised for that time. Because when the word of prophecy for an age or dispensation becomes flesh, we find that word being manifested in and through a messenger. And when that messenger is on the scene, he is the word of God in human flesh, the word of God promised for that time, and it is no longer in letter form, but in flesh. And when people are able to see the word incarnate in a man, those people can say, as the Apostle Paul said, when the Lord asked them, "Do you also want to go away?" Peter said, "And whom shall we go to? You have words of eternal life, and we have believed and know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God." That is the way and the manner in which people, when they see the word incarnate, that word that was brought through the prophets, being quickened, not just having in a letter form, but in the flesh, then they can say what Peter did. See? Now, in the message, Shalom, on page 28, there it tells us, of this message it says, the only way as God was, Jesus Christ was the manifestation of God's spoken word, the light of the hour. And he draws a cornerstone and the arrow towards the cornerstone, and a small part of the ages. John the Baptist was the light of the hour, and there he draws a cornerstone and the ages, and an arrow therein, in almost in between. He was the light just before Jesus was light. The prophet Isaiah said, "A voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, and make straight his path." That was the spoken word of God. It was laying there, hadn't come to life yet. And he writes there, materialized. Now, notice, that word that the prophet Isaiah spoke hadn't been brought to life until it was fulfilled, made flesh, and it was being fulfilled there in John the Baptist. Malachi, the last prophet, 400 years before it taken place, he said, "Behold, I send my messenger before me to prepare the way of the Lord. Here come one out of the wilderness without denomination, without creed, without identification. But his light," and he writes his message, "his light identified him, the word identified him." And on the left, upward, he writes, "the word identifies the messenger." And also on top of the margin, he had written, "the light of the hour." And there, at the end where I read, I finished that paragraph, he draws a Star of David to the left. They said, "Are you the Messiah?" He says, "I am not, but I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord." Jesus said, "You did walk in his light." He was a bright and shining light for a while. Why? Until the way was prepared. Then his light went out. And he wrote there to the left, John B., John the Baptist. You cannot walk in that light, you Baptists. This is the light of the hour. The light has come. Rise and shine. The word, light, word, the manifested word of God identified is the light. And he writes there, to the right, he draws a cornerstone in the ages. And on the left, he draws a Star of David, and he also draws a cornerstone and the ages. And there in the next paragraph, he says, now, what about the new year? And he writes, the 50th year of Jubilee. What about the new year that we are facing? We could have more to say on this in between. From the darkness to the light, the introducing of the light coming between, but now we want to get right straight to the new year, and he draws to the right a Star of David. Now, it continues to say here, where we left off, and when the Hebrew people see the coming of Christ with his angels, when they see his coming as lion of the tribe of Judah, as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, they will be seeing the word that cannot fail. They will be seeing it manifested at the end of time. Manifested how? Well, made flesh. What they are waiting for? Well, they will see not in letter form anymore, not in the Torah, nor in the books they have, rather, they will see it, notice, already made flesh. When I say they will see it, that's when they recognize it already. Because look, they are already enjoying good fellowship, and they are friends already. But notice, they have not identified that word yet. They are paying close attention. But when the time comes that they say, but this is him, that's when the things will get really good for Israel. Now, he goes on to say, that is the same word that we would be seeing at the end of time, and that is the word that cannot fail. It is the word promised for the end of time. And because that word cannot fail, that word must be made flesh at the end of time in the messenger of the end of time, the messenger who begins the dispensation of the kingdom. The messenger who begins the dispensation of the kingdom. And then that word will be in human flesh, and it will be manifesting itself through human flesh and making known the entire divine program relevant once the ages of the Gentile church have ended. And we have already seen that while we were in the dispensation of grace with baptisms, altar calls, and water baptisms, and all of that, that is of and belongs to the dispensation of grace. Now, that next messenger in his ministry is outside of the ages, although there is an intertwining, because you see, there is a part in the book of quotations where he says, Moses and Elijah baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is, there is an intertwining there, and we have seen it at this end time. But when he begins his ministry to establish that dispensation of the kingdom, it is already outside the church ages, outside the dispensation of grace. For that reason, he goes on to say, for that reason, the seventh seal will be open after the Gentile church ages. After the Gentile church ages have finished, the seventh seal would be opened. The word for all the people will be opened, because the seventh seal is the coming of Christ, and Christ is the word. In the message, who is this Melchizedek? He tells us, on page 36, he says, now, look at them down there in Sodom. And there is their messengers down there speaking to them. But then, where is that royal seed of Abraham? Where is their sign that he said, as it was in the days of Sodom, that God came down and was manifested in human flesh and told what Sarah was thinking back in her heart in the tent behind him, the last time before the Gentile world was destroyed by fire, and the church has got its last sign before the whole world is going to be destroyed, this Gentile kingdom be destroyed by the fire and the wrath of God. And he writes there to the right, son of Abraham. Do you believe that? That Melchizedek was flesh. And he writes on top, Melchizedek equals Elohim, represented himself in a human body, and then later he was made flesh, and now, tonight, he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Do you believe it? And on the right he writes, flesh. Who is this Melchizedek then? That's the same yesterday? And on the left he writes upwards, the Melchizedek today. Never had no father, never had no mother, he never had no beginning of days, he never had any end of life. And he met Abraham, and what kind of signs did he perform? Then he was made flesh. He said it would repeat again just before the end time. Do you believe that? I believe it. And there we're going to, he says, let's pray. He says, dear God, I believe the scriptures that you have said you was the same yesterday, today, and forever. And as sincerely in my heart, Lord, I know that something is fixing to take place. I cannot strictly identify it. I'm afraid to say anything. Lord, thou knowest the heart of your servant. And how many times, down through the age, when you sent things, people failed to get it. And there to the left, look, he writes upwards, to identify him today, Melchizedek equals Moses, and Elijah. Now, notice, if Melchizedek, when he appeared to Abraham back then, was Elohim, and he appeared to Abraham at the end of time, at his coming, back then it was in a dispensation. Notice, the dispensation of promise. Now, notice, here, in the dispensation of the kingdom, he would be manifesting himself in the midst of his church, and Melchizedek returns. But then here, notice, as the Son of Man comes with his angels, then it is Melchizedek. In other words, Melchizedek equals Elijah and Moses with the two olive trees. So, what do we have in our midst? The same thing that took place in Abraham's time. Elohim and his archangels, Gabriel and Michael, which represents the ministries of Moses and Elijah, appearing to the royal seed of Abraham at this time by faith. Man is constantly praising God for what he did and saying what great things he is going to do, but ignoring what he is doing. So has it been through the age, and there he draws a cornerstone and the ages to the left, all the ages. And at the bottom he writes, people praise God for what he did and for what he will do, but they ignore what he is doing. Why did the Roman church fail to see St. Patrick as God's prophet? Why did they kill Joan of Arc when she was a prophetess, burned her like a witch? Father, it's always past. You hide it from the eyes of the wise and prudent. No wonder you said to them, priests, you garnish the tombs of the prophets, and you are the one that put them in there. After they are gone, they see their mistake. They always persecute you. Lord, in whatever form you come in. In whatever form, the unbeliever, that is, the one that doesn't believe, the one that doesn't have that representation in the sixth dimension, it doesn't matter the form in which God fulfills it, they will always persecute that promise being fulfilled there. And he writes on the right side, they persecute you in whatsoever form you come. And how do they persecute him? Well, they persecute the instrument, the veil of flesh. Now, in the message that's titled The Great Mystery of the Seventh Seal, preached on May 31st of 1992 in Mexico, he says, at the end of the world, at the end of time, he would manifest himself through a dispensational angel messenger, through the dispensational angel messenger for the dispensation of the kingdom. That manifestation is the great mystery of the seventh seal, which caused silence in heaven for about half an hour. On page 464 from the Book of the Seals, it tells us, on the bottom part, it says, we must remember that this seventh seal is the end of time of all things. That's right. The things written in the seven seal book, sealed up, of the plan of redemption from before the foundation of the world. It every bit ends. It is the end. It is the end of the struggling world, the systems, cosmos, he writes there. It's the end of the struggle nature. It's the end of everything. In there, it's the end of the trumpets. It's the end of the vials. It is the end of the earth. It is even the end of time. Time runs out. The Bible said so in Revelation 10 chapter and the 7th verse. Times run out. And the angel said, time will be no more. When that in the days, and he writes, eighth day of great things to happen, everything runs out. In this time, the end of the, at the end of the seventh seal, and he writes, leftover time, Moses and Elijah. Notice, it's the end of the church age. It is the end of the seventh seal. It is the end of the trumpets. And below he writes, at the end of the half hour of silence, at the end of the seventh seal is the end of everything, at the end of the half hour of silence. Now remember that it is about half an hour. And where was the end, and what was the end of the seventh seal in his first coming like? On Calvary's cross. That was the end. Now, when will it be the end of the seventh seal in his second coming? Look, there in Revelation 11, it tells us about this. In other words, we have to see when the Great Tribulation begins, and by then we will know a lot, meaning all of that is, let's say, encoded there in the 70 weeks of Daniel and in other messages in the book of the seals and the ages. Everything is there. He says, if we know what these 70 weeks of Daniels are, we won't miss it by a minute. Now, that is the end of the seventh seal in his second coming. Now, he is not saying that it is the end there, at the end of the half hour of silence, because during that half hour of silence, everything relevant to the fulfillment of the seventh seal will be taking place there. In 2009, he told us that the half hour of silence hadn't started yet. And he says, but it will begin. And if it will begin, then it is at the beginning of that ministry of the second coming of the Lord in the midst of his church. And we already have a starting point there. In other words, a point of reference going forward. It's the end of the seventh seal, it's the end of the trumpets, it's the end of the vials, and even end the ushering in of the millennium. On ushering, he writes introduction above, that's on the seventh seal. Now, he continues to say here, and knowing this great mystery of the seventh seal is how we receive the rapture in faith. How do we receive the rapture in faith? Well, by knowing this mystery of the seventh seal, if we don't know it. Now, how would it come? How did he say? It would come by a teaching. We're going to read that this upcoming days. We have already read it, but he says it will come by a teaching, that is, a preaching. In other words, there will be preaching, he says, because Brother Branham saw preaching in the tenth vision. There is the teaching. And by knowing this great mystery of the seventh seal is that we receive the rapture in faith, the faith to be transformed, the faith to enter and live in the dispensation of the kingdom, to then pass into the glorious millennial kingdom, where the great mystery of the seventh seal will be taught, preached, proclaimed, that mystery of the seventh seal being made known, the way it was fulfilled at the end of time, just as for 2,000 years approximately, the great mystery of the first coming of Christ and his work on Calvary's cross as a Lamb of God has been made known. In other words, in the millennium, notice that great mystery of the seventh seal that was fulfilled before the Great Tribulation would be made known, taught, preached, proclaimed. Also, during the Great Tribulation, those 3.5 years, which is also that ministry of Moses and Elijah, the two olive trees, bringing all those divine judgments to the human race. Now, notice that at his first coming, the one that rejected that teaching couldn't obtain the new birth. And notice, at this end time, it says that he who rejects. Now, let's see there, in the book, in the message token, on page 26, look, It tells us, as we see the great end time signs on earth today, we know that that's right. Now look, I've waited for this for a long, long time, for this message to you. See? And you've seen the end of time signs, and I've preached it to you, and showed it to you by everything that Christ said. Is that right? You'll admit that. We are at the end of time. I don't see nothing left. You say, what about the mark of the beast? Those who reject the Holy Spirit is already marked by the beast. The punishment will come later. And there he writes on the left, the mark of the beast. And also in the message, that's titled, the mark of the beast. On page 50, look, it tells us, I think that the seal of God is the Holy Spirit. The Bible supports that. The mark of the beast is to reject the Holy Spirit. And he writes there to the right, the seal of God is the Holy Spirit. And the mark of the beast is, and he left it there at that, the mark of the beast, notice, is to reject the Holy Spirit. Now, he goes on to say, so, you have been granted to know this great mystery of the kingdom of God, because your names are written in the Lamb's book of life, and that is why you have that privilege from God. This is the great mystery that all the elect of God would know at the end of time. And there is nothing else to make known at the end of time other than the great mystery of the seventh seal and his work at the end time. The entire program of God at this end time in the millennial kingdom will revolve around the second coming of Christ and his work at this end time. That is the great mystery of the seventh seal, which will be opened to the elect at this end time, and it would give us the faith to be transformed and raptured. And he told us that in the fulfillment of the tenth vision, that is when the rapture in faith will be given. Therefore, it is the teaching, it is the preaching, it is the time where God is preparing his people, giving them the rapture in faith to the elect to receive that great promise, identifying the end of time. Let's stand, and thus, leave. We live in this message identifying the end of time. Our dear brother and friend, Dr. William Soto Santiago.